Welcome to Agency and Focus, Department of Homeland Security, sponsored by Leidos. Now here's your host, Tom Temin.
New administrations draw thousands of people to Washington for thousands of purposes. For most, working in a large federal agency is different from anything they've ever done, even for former Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. Throughout the next several weeks, we'll have a variety of DHS-related interviews on the agency's 15th anniversary. In this one, Napolitano discusses one big difference between DHS and her earlier job as governor of Arizona.
The key difference is in mission. When you're a state governor, you're worried about things like K-12 education and higher education, and you're worried about the economy of your state. You're worried about things like operating the prisons. When you're the Secretary of Homeland Security, you have a much broader mission, everything from counterterrorism to cybersecurity to immigration and immigration enforcement. So while there is some overlap, for example, disaster response, there's a great deal that's different between the mission of a governor and the mission of the Department of Homeland Security.
And would you also say maybe that in a state, the governor might be better known personally to more people, and therefore the political consequences or the consequences of missteps or mistakes or changes in policy aren't so violent, perhaps, is the word to put it, as they are at the federal level, especially in the ensuing years?
Well, I would say that, you know, as a governor, you're, elected by the people. You are the top executive in your state versus, you know, being a member of a cabinet that reports to the president. So within a state, the governor is very well known. You know, nationally, the Secretary of Homeland Security is somewhat known, but not so immediately so.
And let's go back to when you arrived at Homeland Security. It was still a relatively young agency. I think you were the third secretary. And what state did you find it in? What did it look like to you when you got there?
Well, I think I found it better than Chertoff found it when he took over. I think that my successor found it better than when I took over. In other words, it's a young department that's still in the process of development, still in the process of knitting itself together. We are part of a chain of development, as it were.
And looking at the disparity of the different components, because you had FEMA and the Coast Guard, plus all of these other newly created structures, such as for cybersecurity, and so a lot was moved in, a lot was created. How did you try to make it coherent in your own mind so that you could have some kind of overarching approach to it?
Well, one of the ways was we developed a mission statement for the department that it was to facilitate the safety and security of the American people so that they could continue to thrive. We developed a set of overarching priorities within the department that we could fit each of its components into. So we tried to, by good governance of the department, knit it together.
Did you have much in the way of conversations with Michael Chertoff as a kind of handoff? Because you were part of a brand new administration also.
That's right. So Secretary Chertoff had plan an extensive transition. I was still serving as governor of Arizona, so he was kind enough to send people to Phoenix to brief me so that I could begin preparing for my new role, even as I was executing my then-current role. There were extensive briefing materials for me to read, and so it was a good handoff.
We're speaking with Janet Napolitano. She is the former Homeland Security Secretary, now President of the University of California system. And what you faced, nevertheless, was a department made up of many pieces. In many ways, each one of them was almost as big as some state departments, if you will, at the state level. And so tell us how the idea of unifying this, as a management construct struck you, and what did you go about doing to try to make it unified?
Well, one of the things we did was to set up regular meetings with all the component heads at the NAC, the Nebraska Avenue complex, which is where the secretary's office is, so that different areas of the department, which are geographically spread all over the District of Columbia and the surrounding area, would be in one place at one time. We tried to, as I said before, we identified five or six core missions of the department, many of which crossed components. So by identifying those missions, we fostered the need for different components to work with each other. So there were a variety of things we did to bring unity to the department and a sense of departmental identity.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a human factor, I guess, there when you're talking to people as dispersed as, you know, Customs and Border Agent, Border Patrol officers and Coast Guard boat members and all of the FEMA workers. They really have a wide range of missions and outlook. So there's a human side to this also, too, isn't there?
There is. And when you recognize that, you know, many of the employees had been employees of their various agencies for a long time and brought with them the culture of their home department to this new department, the Department of Homeland Security. And, you know, as attrition happened and new people were hired in and were hired specifically into the Department of Homeland Security, that began to dissipate. But that takes time.
And what about the kinds of management support systems that an executive of an organization that large needs? Because I think the financial systems, some of the HR systems, some of those so-called back office functions, we're still developing. I think they're still developing now. And did you find coming into the federal government, did you say, oh my gosh, this has got to be modernized?
That's right. And so we spent a lot on kind of the management nuts and bolts, having a common email system by way of example, HR and HR practices, putting together the budget and having a common template for how we did the budget. All those things had to be accomplished and have to be accomplished to create a new federal department.
And what about the sense of mission that you spoke about earlier? Because Homeland Security is a little bit different than agriculture, say, or interior or commerce, even Veterans Affairs. Perhaps
that's right.
It's most like defense, if anything. And you've got some really serious consequences if things go wrong.
That's right. So we identified, you know, five or six core missions of the department. And as I said, began to slot our departmental activities and our departmental priorities in line with those five or six core mission areas. And you know, there are literally hundreds of different discrete missions under the various agencies of the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, for example, in customs, you're doing everything from monitoring incoming cargo for the importation of dangerous pests that could infect American agriculture, to handling the truck traffic that crosses our border ports of entry, to enforcing the nation's export-import laws. Each of those missions is vitally important and takes time and takes personnel.
What do you feel was the most important incident that might have happened in your watch?
Well, we had a number. We had a number of terrorism-related incidents, from the so-called underwear bomber on Christmas Day of 2009 to the Times Square bomber to the New York subway bomber. Both of those, of course, were unsuccessful, to the Boston Marathon. We had a number of natural disasters, bad tornadoes in places like Alabama and Georgia. all the way up to and including Hurricane Sandy, which was a huge landfall hurricane that came right into New York Harbor and caused significant power outage and damage and home destruction, and particularly in the New York, New Jersey area, but that spread beyond those two states. We saw the evolution of cyber and cyber attacks, which when I began as secretary, I spent maybe 10% of my time on cyber-related matters, and by the time I left, it was a good 40% of my time. So we dealt with a broad variety of incidents while I was secretary.
As secretary, how do you help ensure that the organization learns and evolves and inculcates lessons from these types of incidents and just doesn't kind of revert back to stasis as it was before?
Well, you do an after-incident review, and you go back and you look at what happened and what could have been done differently, what could have been done better, and hopefully pass on those lessons learned so that it's in a constant period of evolution and improvement.
And what's the right role for the secretary during disasters? Because it's one of those situations where there are simply no throwaway lines, as I think probably every secretary learns at some point in their career.
I think the role of the secretary is to lead. It's to ensure that the department is doing what it needs to be doing. It's to run political interference. For example, in response to natural disasters, I would often go tour the affected area, but I would take with me the elected representatives and senators from that area. I'd interact with the governors, and that was a relationship that I knew a lot about. So I knew the responsibilities that the governors had and could interface with them effectively. So those are the kinds of things that the secretary does.
And what about developing relations with Capitol Hill? Because I think in the federal Congress, if you will, as opposed to state legislatures, I could be wrong about this, but I think in Washington, maybe the knives are longer.
Well, and one of the issues affecting the department is the sheer number of congressional committees and subcommittees that retain some sort of jurisdiction over the department. I think it's something like 105. And so I testified something like 55 times when I was secretary. And each time I testified, it required people to prepare the materials for me, to prepare the written statement that would be submitted to whatever committee or subcommittee had called me to the Hill. It required me having what we called a moot court, where members of the department would fling questions at me so that I could hone my answers. When I was testifying, you're the secretary of the entire department. So that's a big deal. And besides me, our agency heads were also routinely called to the Hill for hearings and the like. And so the amount of congressional oversight of the department is extreme and, I might add, not always helpful.
Former Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano is now president of the University of California. In part two of the interview, Napolitano discusses the federal workforce she encountered as a new secretary. I'm Tom Temin.
For 15 years, Leidos has seen firsthand the Department of Homeland Security's men and women safeguard the American people, our homeland, and our values. In support of the DHS mission, our technical experts have delivered trusted solutions in mission-based IT, cybersecurity, biometrics, and logistics. Ranked number one on Washington Technology's top 100, Leidos has the experience DHS can count on, and we're ready for your future missions. Learn more at Leidos.com/homeland.
She'd been a governor of a populous state, but when Janet Napolitano took over as Homeland Security Secretary early in the Obama administration, she found something encouraging right away. I asked her about her initial impression of the more than 200,000 people she found working for her.
I over was very pleased with the quality of the workforce we had at the department. They were very dedicated to mission. They were hardworking. They were good career civil servants.
And how does a secretary and, I guess, a political group of leadership that comes in with an administration go about making sure that they get that federal workforce on their side and kind of establish good relations there?
Well, what you attempt to do is to communicate with them clearly what their mission is, what the priorities of the administration are, how the work they're doing plays into and supports that work, and the value that you place on their work. But communicating with all the members of the department was very difficult because they're far-flung, and some are in some of the most isolated parts of the United States and indeed the world. So that was a constant effort on my part, and I'm not sure I could say I was completely successful.
Well, I guess maybe it's something that you also have to rely on the political deputies to do also, because they may interact more frequently and more directly with the career people.
That's right. And so that's why it was important that I meet with all of the component heads together at least once a month, which is what we did.
And in the Obama administration, how frequently did you as a cabinet secretary actually communicate with the White House or even with the president himself?
There was constant communication between my staff and White House staff. I would say particularly on issues related to immigration, we were making a concerted effort to get Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform. There were always immigration enforcement issues that were being posed. But the back and forth between the White House, not just on immigration, but on other matters, was pretty constant. And then, of course, as secretary, I participated in weekly meetings of the security part of the cabinet and the administration with the president and the vice president. And then I would, from time to time, personally brief the president on issues or initiatives that the department was undertaking.
And how about relations between Homeland Security and defense? Because in one sense, DHS leaves off where defense begins and vice versa.
Right. You know, they were very good. I had a good working relationship with Secretary Panetta, Secretary Gates, of course, the Coast Guard is an active service component that is actually in the department, but the Commandant of the Coast Guard would regularly be meeting with the other heads of the services in the so-called tank at the Pentagon. One area where we really tried to work together was in cyber and cybersecurity, because the line between what is military in an act of war and what is not an act of war in the cyber world is still undefined. So it required a lot of coordination and situational evaluation.
Former Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. I'm Tom Temin.
For 15 years, Leidos has seen firsthand the Department of Homeland Security's men and women safeguard the American people, our homeland, and our values. In support of the DHS mission, our technical experts have delivered trusted solutions in mission-based IT, cybersecurity, biometrics, and logistics. Ranked number one on Washington Technology's top 100, Leidos has the experience DHS can count on, and we're ready for your future missions. Learn more at Leidos.com/homeland.
We're speaking with Janet Napolitano. She is the former Homeland Security Secretary, now President of the University of California System. What did you find most difficult about being Homeland Security Secretary?
Oh, I think the sheer volume of the types of work that the department is called on to do. You know, I knew every day when I woke up and went into the office that I would likely not end up having spent the day on things I was planning to spend the day on, but that something would have happened overnight or some new crisis was developing that would require my attention. And so the job of secretary requires one to be flexible and to be able to multitask.
And we're going to get to the good side in a minute, but I wanted to ask you, can you remember one day as being, say, the worst day that you might have had in your tenure?
You know, I think the aftermath of the underwear bomber and the comments I made in the press about that, that were taken out of context, but nonetheless were inartful. You know, that was a hole that I had to dig myself out of.
And how about some of the high points of the job? Did you like it overall?
I did like the job, and I thought we did a very good job. One of the things I was most proud of was the improvements made in FEMA. We brought in a terrific director, Craig Fugate, and he began rebuilding that part of the department, which was really still in a bad place in the aftermath of Katrina. Morale was down. There was not a clear sense of, you know, what they were doing or how they were to go about it. And I would say that we began rebuilding FEMA so that by the time Hurricane Sandy hit in 2013, we were able to marshal a very coordinated response. And, I took great satisfaction from that.
And what kind of contact did you have as former secretary with your successors, principally Jay Johnson? Because after him, there hasn't been a long-term secretary.
Right. So I had a conversation or two with Jay, but then he took the ball and ran with it. And that's what secretaries do.
What about John Kelly?
I have not spoken with General Kelly.
And so now he is at the White House, and there is nobody running Homeland Security. Elaine Duke, I think, has a lot of experience in there, but she's, you know, has acting part of her title, which does have some limitations. What advice would you give to someone that decides to step up for this job if the president decides to nominate someone?
I would say to any incoming secretary, just the things we have talked about. Just be ready to be flexible. Know that you'll have to multitask. Know that you'll need to be able to communicate effectively with the employees of the department and with the public writ large, and that it's a very important, albeit little understood, role.
And having served as governor of a populous state, Arizona, and having operated at a high level at the federal government, did any of that prepare you for the real politics that characterize a modern American campus, especially in California?
Oh, yes. There are certain characteristics for any large organization. The need to set mission, the need to have priorities, the need to deal with various constituencies, be it a state legislature or a national Congress, be it the press. So there are many things that overlap.
Former Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. There's much more to the interview. Hear it all at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. And be sure to subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes and Podcast One. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, Department of Homeland Security, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search DHS 15.